The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashah is Parashas Kisovei. The Torah tells us in Chamishi, that's and Moshe commanded the nation on that day, saying, that when you cross the Yarden, you cross the Jordan River, you go to Eretz Yisrael, so there'll be some who will stand on Hagrizim. Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisrael, Yosef, and Binyamin. These six tribes will stand on Hagrizim. And this will be for the brocha of the nation. And these will stand on Harevel, for the klala, for the curse, Reuven, God, the Osher, Zvulun, Don, Ben Naphtali. The Onu Alevim, the Omru Kol, El Kol Ish Yisrael, Kol Rom. And the Levim will be in the center, and they will say the following brochas, and the converse, the following klalas. And the whole nation will answer, Amen. And then, these various brochas and klalas are mentioned. Amongst the klalas which are mentioned here, the curses, four of them are related to Loshon Hora. The Chofetz Chaim, Kuzikreina Levrocha, brings in a sefer Loshon Hora, that if a person speaks Loshon Hora, if he slanders his fellow man, where the Torah does not permit it. So there's the possibility, and many times the probability, where he will transgress many, many Avedas in the Torah. To be exact, a possibility of 17 negative commandments and 14 positive commandments. And then he mentions also, he will bring himself in the category of four arurim, four curses in the Torah. Now, these four curses are mentioned in these curses. What are they? The most direct one is the one that's mentioned in Pasuk Chof Dalet. Oro maker ehu vasoseh. Cursed is the one who will smite his friend secretly. Vomer kolom, amen, and the nation answers, amen. So Rashi explains, what does it mean, the one who will smite his fellow man secretly? Al-Loshon Hara hu Eimer. This refers to slandering your fellow man, that's called a makas sefer. Hitting your friend behind his back, where he does not know. That's one. A second one is Oru Mashke Iver Badorch. Cursed is the one who misleads the blind person on his way. So Rashi explains, Hasuma Badover Umasir Eitzaror. Someone who is blind in a particular situation. This means not someone who's physically blind, but someone who doesn't know better in a particular situation. And you mislead him, then the person brings himself into the category of that curse. Now, that's very similar to what we have in the Torah, if Ne'evele Sitei Mikshul. You should not allow to place a stumbling block in front of a person that does not know better in a particular situation. Chofetz Chaim writes that when a person speaks Loshon Hara, he will always transgress also the mitzvah of Lif Ne'evele Sitei Mikshul. Because Loshon Hara, you have to have a speaker and a listener. So when you tell your tale to the other person, by the other person listening and accepting what you're saying, he also transgresses this Aveira. And now you have caused him to transgress this. You have stumbled him. You have misled him. You have directed him, brought him into an Aveira. So therefore, the Mesaper, the one who tells Loshon Hara, is always also transgresses Lifnei Iver. And therefore, he will be in the category of this curse, Oro Mashke Iver Badora. Cursed is the one who entices, who tempts, who brings his fellow man into an Aveira. Third curse is the one mentioned in Pasuk Tezayin. Now this is not always when one speaks Loshon Hara, but it is in particular cases. If the slander is against his father or mother. States Ora Makle Ovi V'Imai. Cursed is the one who belittles. Rashi says in that posuk, Makle, what does the word Makle mean? Mizalzo. Loshen V'Nikle Ochicho. To shame, to belittle. So cursed is the one who belittles his father and his mother. So Chofetz Chaim says, you speak slander, you speak divrei ganai, negative fism against your father or mother, and you are belittling them, you are being mezalzel them. And besides all of the other avedas, you bring yourself into the curse of oru makle ovid ima. Cursed is the one who will belittle, who will disgrace his father or mother. That's the third curse. Fourth curse is the final one, which is in Pasuk Chovov, and this also does not apply all of the time, but many of the times. Cursed is the one who will not uphold this Torah to do these mitzvahs. And the nation answers Amen. Now what does this come to add? Someone who does not do the mitzvahs. So this is explained by our sages. This does not refer to someone who incidentally transgresses an Aveira. This refers to someone who bikfius, all the time, transgresses an Aveira min Aveiras. One Aveira, two Aveiras. There are certain Aveiras by this person where he does not recognize them. And he always transgresses them. To him they are kehefker. They are like they don't exist. Even though he knows that he's not supposed to do a certain thing. Someone who knows he's not supposed to do a certain thing, but b'mikro, an occasional instance, or in a casual situation, once in a while he does the Aveira because of great temptation or because of the difficulty of the situation. That's not what this curse is referring to. That's not considered lo yokim as divrei ha'Torah hazeis, the one who will not uphold it, all of the mitzvahs. But if a person consistently does one particular aveira, or a few particular aveiras consistently, this means that he does not recognize this particular aveira. It's as if it doesn't exist to him. That's what this curse refers to. Many, many times, the Chofetz Chaim writes, you have people who speak Lashon Hara, and they speak Lashon Hara. They constantly speak it. And they know you're not supposed to. And they've been told you're not supposed to. But still makes no difference. They constantly, constantly speak it. This is like we learned in the Gemara, Umar. Therefore, they're also in this category of Oror. Cursed is the one who will not uphold the mitzvahs of the Torah. So all four of the curses are in our parsha. Since we are in this parsha, and we're speaking of the subject, so this is an opportunity to continue what we have said several shurim on in the past, where we were going through all of the mitzvahs, the negative commandments and the positive commandments that the Chofetz Chaim mentions. And let us learn another two or three of them this evening. Till now we learned all of the 17 negative commandments, and we learned 10 of the positive commandments. The 11th positive commandment is from the Posuk, Es Hashem Elokecha Tiro. In Parashas Ekev, which we just learned not long ago, Dvorim Yud, Posuk Chof. States, Es Hashem Elokecha Tiro, also Saved, The Lord your God you shall fear. He you shall serve. You shall cleave to him. And you shall swear by his name. What does it mean as Hashem Elokech Hotiro? That the Lord your God you shall fear. This is a mitzvah essay. This is one of the Tanya 613 mitzvahs that we are chayev obligated in Yiddish Hashem to fear the Lord your God. What does this mean? This means that always a Jew has to realize and has to be cognizant that he is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching everything he does. And therefore, he must always be careful to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him. And not to transgress what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he should do. This is Yiras Hashem, to fear Hashem. He must be cognizant that when he does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks him to, then he will receive reward for it. And when he does not do what he is told to do, then he will receive punishment. As it states many times in the Torah, V'yoreisum elekecho, ani Hashem. And many mitzvahs it states, V'yoreisum elekecho, ani Hashem, you shall fear your God, because I am God. What does that mean? So Rashi brings, Ne'amon l'shalim schar. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord your God who is faithful to give reward for fulfillment and to extract punishment for desecration. Most of the time, this expression is written where it's a mitzvah, where it's difficult to tell if the person is fulfilling it or not. For example, if it's dependent in a person's heart. So then it states, you shouldn't think that people will think you're fulfilling the mitzvah, and really it's dependent in your heart and no one knows. Because I know, and you shall fear the Lord your God, ani Hashem, I am the Lord your God, ne'amon l'shalim schar, you can trust me that I will pay your reward or your punishment. This is Yerushalayim. Just as if a person was in the presence of a king. So he would always be careful to do exactly what the king tells him to and not to do what he tells him not to. So must a Jew constantly be cognizant of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to fulfill what he says. Incidentally, the Ramban writes, I believe it's at the end of Parshas Emor, the end of one of the Parshas, he writes that this is from the foundations of Emunah, that a Jew must have faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives reward for mitzvahs. Not only punishment for not fulfilling mitzvahs, but reward for mitzvahs. Many times Jews will feel, look, I'll do it, but I don't know if there'll be much reward in it. He says, from the Yesodis Emunah, from the very foundations of faith, is that we must believe what the Torah tells us, the Torah's Meisha tells us. And if Meisha said that Ani Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you can trust me, a Jew must have full faith that for every mitzvah he will be rewarded completely. And the same with every Aveira. Now therefore, the Chofetz Chaim writes that if a person commits an Aveira, in a manner where it's like hefker to him, doesn't make any difference to him, so at that time for sure he's not fearing the Almighty, because if he would believe that the Almighty is there watching him and has commanded him not to speak Lashon Hara, then he certainly would not have, if he would believe in fear. Therefore, when a person speaks Lashon Hara, in particular, we're speaking about someone who constantly speaks. So far as he's concerned, there's no one watching him. He speaks softly so no one hears. So as far as he's concerned, the Kodesh Baruch is not watching him. So at that time, he transgresses the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, that you should fear the Lord your God. And it's a very great mitzvah. It's a mitzvah's essay. There's a Gemara that the Gemara brings that the Talmidim asked the Rebbe. I forgot exactly who was the Rebbe that the Gemara is referring to. But he said, they said, give us a bracha. Give us some instruction. So he said that you should fear Hashem with the equivalent fear that you fear man. So they said, Vesulo, and that's all. You should fear Hashem with even greater fear. He says, halavai this much. Because go see how one man fears another man. In his presence, he'll never do anything that will be against the will of that person. But he'll never do anything that he's ashamed of in the presence of another person. He'll only do it b'seisr. He'll do it when the other person is not looking. So this is the fear that you should have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since the Almighty is always looking, he's always in your presence, you should have as much fear as you have from another man. The Chinuch counts this mitzvah as one of the 613 mitzvahs, and he writes as follows. This is in Mitzvah Tov Lamed Beis. If the occasion, the opportunity comes to a person where he can do an avera, he's obligated to awaken himself. The law says, and to make cognizance of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world and watches the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will extract exact punishment, exact judgment from the act of every person. So therefore, when someone does an avera, and to him it makes no difference, this whole concept, then he transgresses this mitzvah's essay of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Incidentally, the Chinuch also writes that this is a mitzvah which is neheges b'chol shor, that the time of this mitzvah is always. Generally, mitzvahs have limitations; they have restrictions of time. Some mitzvahs you can only fulfill in certain seasons, like the mitzvahs of Yom Tovim. Other mitzvahs you can fulfill one time a day. This mitzvah is a mitzvah on the person all of the time, to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in Zagdoma, the Sefer Chinuch writes that there are six such mitzvahs, that all of the time a person is commanded in. And this is one of them. One additional point, and that is, the Chofetz Chaim writes that the essence of this mitzvah of to fear Hashem, what does it mean? It doesn't mean to have fear from Hashem. The essence of this mitzvah means that you do not want to transgress the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the essence of this mitzvah means. As Hashem Elokecha Tira, you shall fear the Lord your God. Doesn't mean you should be afraid. It means that you do not want to transgress the will of the Almighty. That's the essence of this mitzvah. And logically, it's this way. Because what would be by Yiras Melech Bosavadov, if a person would be in the presence of a king, of a physical king, and he has fear and trepidation from him. What kind of fear and trepidation does he have? Where he's afraid to transgress the will, the commands of the king. So that's the essence of this mitzvah. Where he is constantly concerned that he shall not transgress the will of the Almighty. He brings a Gemara in Masechet Kedushin, that the Gemara says, in Kedushin Lamed Beis, the Gemara says it also states by a father and a mother that you shall fear them. Ish aviv yimaitiro. So the Gemara says, Hechi domi yira, Hechi domi meira. What does it mean you shall fear your father and mother? So the Gemara says, Lo yistar es dvorov. You shall not go against their words. Lo yistar es dvorov. Then it tells us other things also. We should conduct ourselves in a way where we show fear and awe towards them. But from here we see, you shall fear your father and mother. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that you should have just a fear from them. It means lo yistor es dvorov, that you shall not go against their will. You shall not contradict their will. So from here we learn also that it states that you shall fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The essence means you shall not fear, you shall not contradict, you shall not transgress his will. From here we learn that, firstly, if people transgress the will of the Almighty, they cannot say too much that they are fearing Hashem. This is the essence of the fear of Hashem. So it has to go hand in hand with the fulfillment of his will. You can't have a fear of Hashem and at the same time no fear of his commands. That's the first thing. Second thing, though, that we learn from here, which is a very important principle. We must teach ourselves to fear Hashem, not to fear man. The moral brings that Yiras Hashem means Yiras Hashem velo Yiras Odom. Where you fear Hashem and you don't fear man. How many times are people forced to do things because of the fear of man? And how many times is this clothed in the fear of Hashem? If you do a mitzvah, or you don't do an aveira, because you feel this is the will of the Almighty, or you were taught this is the will of the Almighty, and you don't want to go against His will, that's Yiras Hashem. If you do a mitzvah, or you don't do an aveira, because of the fear of people, that's not Yiras Hashem, that's Yiras Odom. Moral says the Madreig of Yiras Hashem is where a person rises above Yiras HaOdom and has fear only for Hashem. This is very important. Because if a person will analyze, he'll find out, he'll come to the conclusion that a tremendous amount of our lifestyle is not directed or built on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, but rather what people want from us. That's not Yiras Hashem. At any rate, in regards to Loshon Hara, therefore, if a person speaks Loshon Hara, and to him especially where he has no fear of it. See, if a person speaks Loshon Hara, but he has a tremendous fear of the Loshon Hara, except he just cannot control himself on this particular occasion, that's something else. But like many people, they speak Loshon Hara, and it means nothing to them. And even though they know better. So there is no fear whatsoever in this Aveira. And this, the Chofetz Chaim says, you'll be Aver, you'll transgress the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokech Hotiro. The 12th mitzvah that one transgresses, and that is, there's a mitzvah in the Torah very important mitzvah. Ulamartem isom, ushmartem lasisom. This is in Voschan in the Vorim. Hey, Aleph. It states, Ulamartem isom, ushmartem lasisom. That you shall teach them, you shall teach these, this to the people. This is referring, Ulamartem isom, you shall study them. Ushmartem lasisom, and you shall guard to do them. This is the mitzvah of the study of Torah. And it's also learned from the Posek Veshinantem Levonecho, which is also in Voschanan, Vod Posek Zayin, that you shall teach your children. From these psukim we learn the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And this is a mitzvah which is mefurshim, is known to everyone. And we've given shulim on them in the past. In a minute we'll see what it has to do with Lashon Hara. The Rambam brings this in the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah. The beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam goes through the sources where we learn this pasuk from. And this is a mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment. Now the Chofetz Chaim brings that this mitzvah is another mitzvah that a person is obligated to do all of the time. All of the time, this is men. Men are obligated. The men are obligated to study Torah whenever they have the the opportunity. Then they must study Torah. And this is a very, very great mitzvah. The Chazal speak of the mitzvah, the reward for the mitzvah of studying Torah, and the punishment of bittul Torah, of not utilizing opportunities to study Torah, more than all other mitzvahs. A few examples. The Mishnah, in the beginning of Masech Tepeah, it tells us, Mitzvah is Talmud Torah, Shoko Keneged Kula. Talmud Torah weighs equal to all other mitzvahs in the Torah. And the Yishalmi says on that, in Masech Tepeah, there are two psukim. One posuk is, Lo Yishva Chafotzecho, Lo Yishva, one posuk is, I don't remember the exact wording of it. And the other pasuk is La Yishva Kol Chafotzecho. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that all, everything that you can bring me is not equal to Torah. That's from the word Chafetzim. Anything you'll bring me is not worth to Torah. Your study of Torah is worth far greater than anything else you'll bring me. Then the pasuk, Le'ishva kol kafotzecho, not only anything of yours you can bring me, but even anything of mine that you can bring me, is not equal to the study of Torah. What does that refer to? Mitzvahs. Even if you'll bring me mitzvahs, they are not equal if you'll bring me Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that Torah is more dear to him than all of your wealth, and even all of your mitzvahs. Le'ishva kol chafetzecho. And that's what it means, Talmud Torah, shokul keneged kulam. There's another Gemara that says, Vitar HaKadosh Baruch Hu al oven averizole gira lais v'shvich domin. Le'vitar al oven bitul teir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to overlook even the Averas, the three cardinal Averas of Gila Arayis, it's adultery and incest, Shvichas Domim, the spilling of blood, and Averas Zora, and idolatry. This he was prepared to overlook. But Oven Bittul Torah, but from the fact that time was not utilized, time was wasted from studying Torah, this he's not prepared to overlook. This is what the Gemara says. And we're all acquainted, we've mentioned many times, but the Vilna Gaon writes in his Pirish, and Masech Tepeya, on that first mission in his Pirish, Nos Eliyahu, he says, it states, Elu Dvorim Shein Lam Shir. These are the mitzvahs which have no shir. They have no limitation. And Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, is one of them. What does it mean that they have no shir, no limitation? He says it means no limitation lamala, no limitation lamata. There's no maximum restriction, there's no minimum restriction. Generally, mitzvahs have restrictions. For example, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, you have to eat a certain amount. The equivalent of a kezayis of an aleph. If you eat less than that, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. So that's a shir lamata. That's the minimal restriction, the minimal amount. There's also a lamalo. There's also a shir lamalo. That once you eat that amount, you fulfill the mitzvah. If you eat more, you do not fulfill another mitzvah. You eat a kezayis matzah, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of the Erev Techlu Matzahs, that on that night you should eat matzahs. Maybe a person will say that I'll eat, if I can eat an olive size of matzah, I fulfill such a wonderful mitzvah. So if I eat a ton of matzahs that night, how much more so? Doesn't work that way. Same thing by lulav. By lulav, the Torah said that you're obligated to take the lulav and you fulfill the mitzvah. Once given the agbay, no agbay, the Gemara says. Once you lifted it up for the sake of mitzvah, you fulfilled the mitzvah. Maybe a person will say, if I get reward for that, I'll lift it up 100 times on Sukkot. Doesn't work that way. Given the agbay, no agbay. Once he lifted it up, he fulfilled it, and now he cannot fulfill it anymore. So all of your mitzvahs, generally, have limitations. There are a few that have no limitations. Gemilas Chasodim is one. Gemilas Chasodim, the smallest act of kindliness that you do to a fellow man is a mitzvah. There is no minimal limitation. And if you do chesed 1,000 times a day, that's 1,000 mitzvahs. There's no limitation. So the Gaon says, if that's the case, and Talmud Torah also is included, this means that how much must you learn in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? If it says Ein Lam Shir, that there is no amount, that means one word of Torah and you fulfill the mitzvah. See, one word of Torah and you fulfill the mitzvah. And how many times can you fulfill the mitzvah? There's no end to it. If you learn 1,000 words, it's 1,000 mitzvahs. 10,000 words is 10,000 mitzvahs. This is what it means that Ein Lam Shir. There is no restriction, there is no limitation. Now, if that's the case, the Vilna Gaon says, when the Chazal tell us that Talmud Torah keneged kulam, that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is equal to all of the mitzvahs in the Torah, what are they referring to? They're referring to learning the whole Masechta. They're referring to learning a tremendous amount? No. They're referring to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What is the mitzvah? One word. One word of Torah is already equal to all of the other mitzvahs. He says, from here you see how much reward a person will have for every word of Torah. Now, that's in regards to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. What about in regards now to the desecration of the mitzvah? The same thing. If a person has an opportunity to study one word and he doesn't utilize it, so then he has desecrated the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Every word that he can study and he doesn't utilize it, so that's Bittul Torah. That's the desecration of Torah. Now, what does this have to do with Lashon Hara? Something very unique, very profound. We were given permission to free ourselves from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah for various necessities. For example, to do mitzvahs. The Torah says that if we're studying, but we have a mitzvah to do, and it has to be done by us, then we're not obligated to study. We can go do the mitzvah. For example, comes Simcha Shantiv. It's a mitzvah to be Mesameach on Yantiv. So then you're allowed to close the Gemara and be Mesameach on Yantiv. Daven, you're allowed to close the Gemara and daven. When it comes to mitzvahs to do to for Haverim, for other people, also the Torah gave us permission to stop learning. So therefore, many times, we're busy doing chesed for other people, doing kindliness for other people. Many times we talk to people, it's to strengthen them, to encourage them in the way of Torah, to make them happy, which is a mitzvah, to lighten their burden, which is a mitzvah of chesed. Or there are times that we can tell over stories. We want to bring out the miracles of Hashem. We tell over a story that happened during the war to show the great miracles of Hashem. Or we tell over stories that happened to great tzaddikim, righteous people, great learned people. This brings a person to fear Hashem. So this is all mitzvah. This we have permission for. Derech Eretz. We were also given permission to stop learning to fulfill Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz are things that a person has to do because he's a human being of flesh and blood. The Gemara says, Panoso, v'yasafta digonecho, that we have a right to stop our learning in order to go make a living. We have to calculate it. We have to calculate how much must we work in order to make a living. You can work 5 hours a day, you can work 8 hours a day, you can work 24 hours a day. So we must calculate this carefully. But permission was granted to stop learning in order to go make a living. Therefore, if we're sitting and talking to someone about the economy or business, and it's relative to the person's business because he has to know what's happening, that's all right then. Torah gave him permission. Or anything that has to do with Derech Eretz. He has to build a house so he can live in. He has to buy clothing. Or for his health. It's Derech Eretz and it's a mitzvah to keep up his health. His physical health, so he has to eat, he has to sleep. Or, for example, his emotional health. If a person comes home and he's a bag of nerves, you sit down, relax a little. So for all of this, permission was granted to stop learning Torah. And therefore, the Chofetz Chaim writes that when the day of judgment comes, and it states that Chilas Dinei Shalodom Kovati Leter, the first thing a person is asked is about his learning of Torah in this world. So there's a great deal that a person will be able to save himself from the judgment when it comes to learning Torah, because on many things he'll have many answers. Say, look, here I had to do this for a living, and I had to do this because I was tired, and I had to do this because I was hungry, and I had to do this because I needed to relax, and I had to do this because this other person needed to know something from me. So it won't be easy to pin the person down on Beetle Terah, I'm not fulfilling this mitzvah. I'm not saying we'll be able to save ourselves from everything, but at least for many things, at least we'll have an argument. See? But what happens during the time that a person is doing an Aveira? A person is doing an Aveira that's costly in time. See? He says, Loshon Hara. Man is sitting, he sits with another fella, they're having coffee. He's sitting there for a half an hour talking Lashon Hara. Day of judgment comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him, and he says, here's 30 minutes, you could have been learning Torah. How many words Torah can you learn in 30 minutes? So how many mitzvahs of Talmud Torah did you desecrate? And the Einish of Beetle Torah is greater than all of the other Einishim. So what's the person going to say? The person's going to say, but I had to talk. It was important. It was important for my business. It was important for making a living. It was important to fix up the house. It was relaxation. Lashon Hara. He won't, like Matsina Yodayim Raglayim Vesamedrish, he won't have a leg to stand on. You had to talk. Not only did you do the worst Aveda in the Torah, where it would have been better had you sat silent and did nothing, but you used time that you could have learned Torah. He brings the Gaon, the Gemara always says that we'll have to give in the world to come, we'll have to give Din V'cheshbon. So the Gaon asks, what does it mean Din V'cheshbon? Should say you have to give Din. Din means you have to give judgment, and Cheshbon means that you have to give calculation. What does it mean, Din V'cheshbon? So the Gaon says is this. Din is judgment. You'll have to give judgment for what you did wrong. Cheshbon, calculation. There'll be a calculation taken. How much time that Aveira took you? Because in that time, you could have done mitzvahs. There'll be two claims against you. One is what you did wrong during that time. Secondly, how that time was misused because you could have used it for mitzvahs. So that'll be the same thing when it comes to Lashon Hara, Din V'cheshbon. Now, he says, let us make a calculation here. And Lashon Hara, he brings proofs that it's not one Aveda. Every time you add another desecration to the person's name, every time you add another story about the person, I'll call Sipur V'Sipur, that's an Aveda by itself. Because each one is enough to constitute the Aveda of Lashon Hara. So it's not like one Aveda, but every Sipur, every telling over of another story or another criticism is Lashon Hara. Not using opportunity to study Torah, that's not one Aveda. Every time you could have learned, every time you could have fulfilled the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you are not utilizing that opportunity. So each one is a separate Aveda. In other words, if you take 5 or 10 minutes went by and you could have learned 1,000 words of Torah, that's 1,000 mitzvahs. So by not learning, you have transgressed 1,000 mitzvahs of Beitul Torah. So he says, what will be, not involving ourselves in any of the other mitzvahs that we mentioned before in all of the shurim, he says, let's make a cheshbon, when someone speaks Lashon Hara, what the tremendous cost will be. That every sipur of Lashon Hara will be held against him, which we said this is from the most serious aveiros in the Torah. And at the same time, he'll be held responsible for all of that time that he could have fulfilled so many mitzvahs of Talmud Torah, of studying Torah. We see from here what the great cost is. So therefore, a person should know that when he's speaking Lashon Hara, he's being Aver Beitul Torah. He is desecrating time given for him to study Torah. And a person shouldn't think, no, what do you mean I'm desecrating Beitul Torah? Am I sitting learning 24 hours a day? No, on everything else there's a good answer for. Not on everything, but on many things. Here I was doing this for a mitzvah, and here I was doing this to help the other fellow, and here I was doing this for my business, and so forth and so on. But when he's doing an Aveda, especially like Lashon Hara, he'll have nothing to answer. So therefore he must realize that that time is Beitul Torah also. Incidentally, the Chofetz Chaim mentions that a person shouldn't think, he says, he's writing this in his time, that people who are not capable of learning of Mishnah, a Gemara, they shouldn't think that they are not able to learn. He says there are many, many Sforim which were written in Yiddish in his time, or in other languages. He says what even a person that doesn't know how to learn Gemara or other things could take and read. The same thing in our time. In our time, there is so much that has been written in English, so many translations. So this is all opportunities to study Torah. This is the greatest mitzvah, of the greatest reward, and therefore a person has to utilize his time very carefully. Time was given to the person. Time is his life. Time is his opportunity to fulfill, to gain the next world. He also writes something interesting. He says that there's a nature we know which is called maspik b'mu'at, istapkis b'mu'at, to be satisfied with a little. He says this nature, to be satisfied with a little of the next world, he says this is a nature which we find by many people. You come to them and tell them, what are you wasting your time for? You could be gaining world to come. They'll tell you, genuk elam abo, I have enough world to come. What do I need so much for? You could sit and you could learn. You sit down and learn an hour for blood gemara. You come into the base of medrash at night, or after work, or before going to work. You learn for a half an hour. You learn for an hour. Think of how many mitzvahs you have. Instead, you sit for the half an hour reading the newspaper or watching television. The same. I have plenty olam habo. He said, it's a strange thing. We find when it comes to this world, to the physical world, that same person, if he was successful in a little business, Kodesh Baruch Hu, he had a little business and a Kodesh Baruch Hu showed him success. Baruch. So what did he do with his money? Instead of being satisfied with a little and using the rest of his time now to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he bought a bigger business with it. You tell him, what do you need a bigger business for? He says, what do you mean, what do I need a bigger business? I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to make some additional killings here. If he has success, and his bigger business brings in money, now you tell him, now, what do you have to kill yourself for? You could learn, you could run your businesses at 3-4 hours a day, and go learn Torah and do mitzvahs the rest of the day. He says, what are you talking about? He says, now I'm in a position where I can really do something. Now I can enter the market. I can enter the exchange. I can go become big time. But I should stop. You think I'm a person without ambition? What do you think? I'm lazy. So he buys a bigger business. Before you know it, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him success. Before you know it, the man is a tycoon. The man has literally hundreds or thousands of people working for him. He's busy day and night. And you come and you tell him. You don't see him anymore, he says. Not only you don't see him in the base of Medrash learning, he says he can't even come to daven in the shul anymore in the base of Medrash. You know, it used to be his customary. Everybody came to the base of Medrash to daven in the morning. He says, you don't see him. Why? He's busy traveling all over the country, all over the continent. He's saying, I have such a responsibility. How can I take off? I got thousands of people working for me, so many people that depend on me, and business upon business and whatnot. See? So this in the world is known as ambition. This is ambition. This is an ambitious person who's ready to conquer the world. What happened to the istapkis b'mu'at? What happened with that quality in a person to be satisfied with a little? That doesn't exist. You come to the same person, and you tell him, you know, you have opportunity to do more mitzvahs and gain more olam habo, more world to come. He'll tell you, look, I have genuk olam habo, have enough. How much does a person need? There is mistapik b'mu'at. There he has enough. So he says you should realize that's the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara says that by Moshe Rabbeinu was just the opposite. The Gemara says, the Chofetz Chaim doesn't bring this, but the Gemara brings that Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest ambition was to enter into Eretz Yisrael. The whole Sefer Torah, we find this all Moshe wanted to do was go into Eretz Yisrael. He kept hoping that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forget about the decree, that he would not enter. Maybe he'll forget about it, maybe he'll close his eyes from it. To the last minute, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally had to tell him, forget about it, I'm not going to overlook it. But the Gemara asks, what did Moshe Rabbeinu want? Moshe Rabbeinu that had so much, he saw more than any other person. Says ponim al ponim, he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face. No one saw what Moshe Rabbeinu saw. 40 days and 40 nights he was on Har Sinai. But the angels with the malachim, he didn't eat, he didn't drink. All of the secrets of the Torah he saw. So Gemara asked, what did he want to go into Eretz Yisrael for? What did he lack? It's a good question. It's a good question. What does the Gemara answer? And the Gemara answer is different. Today, people want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why? What does the Gemara answer? The Gemara says, V'chilechul mipirya. Moshe wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael to eat from its fruits. This Moshe needed. Moshe says, Moshe wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael because there were mitzvahs that could be fulfilled only in Eretz Yisrael. This was what Moshe was pushing for. There were mitzvahs that were impossible, that are impossible to be fulfilled outside of Eretz Yisrael. And this Moshe lacked. Therefore, he wanted to go in order to fulfill the mitzvahs that can be fulfilled only in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asked a good question on that. Did Moshe lack mitzvahs? He lacked mitzvahs. Moshe had more mitzvahs than anyone else. So the Gemara answers, from here we see, I have mitzvah, lo yizba mitzvah. A person who has a true love of mitzvahs will never be satisfied with mitzvahs. So we see that in the spiritual world, there must not be the quality of istapkes b'muad, lack of ambition, to be satisfied with a little. When it comes to the world to come, when it comes to perfection, spiritual perfection, there even Moshe Rabbeinu, who came to a greater perfection than anyone else, he was not satisfied at all. He wasn't satisfied. What did he have, he said? And he kept all the time wanting to go into Eretz Yisrael in order to fulfill more mitzvahs. So therefore, the Gaon also writes this in the place. The quality of ambition, that has to be put in the spiritual world. The quality of self-satisfaction, that has to be put in the physical world. When it comes to the physical world, there a person always says, should teach himself to say, Yechob Geduk, I have enough. Like when Esav wanted to give to Yaakov, Yaakov said, Yesh li kol, I have everything, what you have to give me. Sheep, goats, everything, I have enough. How much sheep and goats do people, the person needs in this world? See? When it comes to the physical world, there a person has to teach himself, I have enough. When it comes to the spiritual world, that's where the role of ambition has to go in full steam. To the point where even Moshe Rabbeinu could not control himself. His only desire was to go to Eretz Yisrael where he could have mitzvahs that he couldn't have before. A mitzvah is my mitzvah. That he who loves mitzvahs will never be satisfied with them. We see two principles in the world. It says, A mitzvahs is my mitzvahs. And then it says, Ye mish yesh lemona ratz masayim. A person has 100, he wants 200. He has 200, he wants 400. The Yetzirah comes to the person just the opposite. The Yetzirah comes to the person and says, you have 100, now you have an opportunity to invest and get 200. You have 200, now you have the opportunity to invest and get 400. The Yetzirah drives the person to the point where he's totally overcome and overwhelmed with the physical world in order that he should lose the spiritual world. But the Yetzer Tov has to drive the person to gain the spiritual world.
and that the stapkis b'muad in the physical world he has to pursue, he must pursue, but which is enough for him. Therefore, a person should say, I have a few minutes, I have an opportunity to come into a Beis Medrash for half an hour or an hour, to come into a shir, or to open a sefer, or even to open a book in English, a sefer in English. Comes home, can learn for 15 minutes, study something for 15, 20 minutes. Besides, it'll bring him a great more relaxation in Menuchas HaNefesh than the weird violence and I didn't even have terms to describe it. Say, that he'll read in the newspapers, newspapers. I mean, today you come home and you read a newspaper. You watch a program on television, you need a holiday after that. Say. Besides that, yeah, but he is building for himself. It says the Chofetz Chaim brings Chochmas Noshim Bonse Beisor. That Torah builds a house for a person in the world to come. All of his mitzvahs and all of his Torah is building a home for a person in the world to come. Each one, each mitzvah, and each Torah is another brick, another piece of timber. There he has to use his ambition. So therefore, the 12th mitzvah that we learned now is a person must be very careful that besides the awful Avera of Loshon Hara, intertwined with that is the awful Avera of Bittul Torah, of the wasting of time from Torah and mitzvahs. Because it's a total non-productivity. A person always must be productive with his time. He must train himself always to be productive. Whatever he does, he must do with purpose. Even if he's relaxing, then it must be utilizing the time. He's utilizing the time to rest his body so he can be productive. He's sleeping in order that he can rest to be productive. He's eating in order that he can be healthy to be productive. And this itself, then, you meet, unfortunately, you find many, many times Chaburas, groups of people that speak Loshon Hara. These are people who do not know what productivity is. Because many times we find that real busy people, they don't have time for that. They don't have time to sit around and speak Loshon Hara. We mentioned before the Chofetz Chaim wrote in regards to another mitzvah that this is very common in shuls. But then he brought his other aveiros involved. It's very common in shuls. You come into shul and there's a few minutes before Maariv. So you see some people go and they daven, or they say tillim, or they take a sefer to learn, and other people sit around. They sit around, so they talk. They talk, they say Loshon Hara. Between Mincha and Maariv, he says, after Shalashutis, or so forth. So this is the mitzvah, another mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that a person will transgress the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So this evening we learned two mitzvahs, and that was the mitzvah of Hashem Elokecha Tiro, that you shall fear the Lord your God. That at the time of speaking Loshon Hara, he makes himself blind to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that he should not speak Loshon Hara. And he goes ahead and still speaks Loshon Hara. So he's been Eiver Al Retzeinei. He's transgressing the will of the king. And by a person that constantly does this, so this is considered a beetle, a transgression of the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokecha Tiro, you shall fear the Lord your God. And the second mitzvah is that while he's speaking Loshon Hara, this is a total destruction of time, a total non-productivity of time. At least other times when he's not learning, many times it's utilized, the time and his energies are utilized for productivity that the Torah also recognizes, as we mentioned. But if a person sits and speaks Loshon Hara, this is a total non-productivity that the Torah recognizes as non-productivity. And he'll have to give a deed in Cheshbon on it. And then we learned also this evening that there are four Arurim, four curses, that a person brings himself into, and those four are mentioned in the parsha tonight. And that was the one of Makeh Re'ehu B'Seser. He strikes his fellow behind his back. That's Loshon Hara. Mashki Iver, where he causes the other person to, he misdirects him. He tempts him to do an Avera. When you speak Loshon Hara to another person, you are tempting him to listen to what you have to say. So you are getting him involved in Avera. That's a second curse. And a third curse, Makla Aviv Imoy, that if you speak against your father or mother, so that's in the category of Makla Aviv Imoy, you shall not belittle or disgrace your father and mother. And then the fourth is the one who constantly speaks Loshon Hara as if he doesn't recognize this Avera. This Avera he doesn't recognize. And unfortunately, we see this many times today. Unfortunately, even by people who recognize all other Averas and mitzvahs, but this Avera they don't recognize. So the Chofetz Chaim says that would be in the category of Ora Asher Lo Yokim Es Divrei HaTorah Hazeh. He said someone who will not hold up all of the Torah, that means that certain mitzvahs he rejects totally. Those are the four curses. We should be mechazik, especially now that the Yom Ha'Roim are coming, and it's a time for the Din V'Cheshbon, that we are asked to give judgment and calculation. One should give great heed to this particular mitzvah that we spoke about, also about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and we should be zeicher to go from strength to strength in the fulfillment of these mitzvahs.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.